Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On this episode of Real Dudes Podcast, we review Edith Finch and Absolver. We also talk about Power Up Con and how it went. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Real Dudes Podcast. This is your host, Carrington, and today I am joined by Cody.
How's it going?
And also, Andrew.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, hey, hey. Kyle is not with us. He announced a small break with us. And as far as his break, he will be absent probably for a few weeks. So we wish him well on his little small break, on his little vacay, so to speak. But we're going to get things started here today. So we're going to talk about Absolver. We're going to talk about What Remains of Edith Finch. And we're going to start with Edith Finch because you guys know that more than I do.
I feel like one of us is going to pronounce that name a little bit wrong. And
I know, I'm afraid to. That's why I'm trying to like enunciate. It is Edith Finch.
Yep, Edith Finch.
Either of you can talk about it because Andrew, I know you played it, and then Cody, I know you watched the playthrough of it.
I did watch it. I did not get to play it, but I watched a YouTuber walk through and his emotions and everything went through it. It was self-explanatory, so I got the full experience.
Would you, one of you, like to talk about at least real quick what it's about first?
Yeah, I guess I can cover that if that's cool with everybody. It's basically you play as this young woman, Edith Finch, and you're going through this old family homestead and just kind of reliving the experiences of some of her relatives on the last day of their life, essentially, and just kind of take a stroll through this house, go through different rooms, and it just kind of take a little moment for a day in the life of, I don't know, it's six or eight different relatives, and it's a pretty cool experience.
I have to say the house was phenomenally cool, like all the little nooks and crannies and pass-throughs and all that stuff. It would be a really neat house, just the location was kind of morbid and creepy looking.
For sure.
So, don't you also like relive all these family members, like their big moments, but, or is it like their actual deaths?
No, it's short stories about each person's final days. So you play as them, or you see through their eyes as they talk about their final minutes or final hours, whatever. And it goes through, and, some of them, as the girl, I think Molly or something, the first child you talk about, she dreams that she became a cat and then became a bird and a whale and a shark and all this stuff. And you go through the surrounding areas as the animal who she believes she is. And it's an interesting way, not only reading about her final moments, but able to live them. And then each individual person has their own short story and their own way of telling it, which was really an interesting way of creating a game and playing through or watching through a story-driven game.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment because I only played the first two stories all the way through, and then the third one I had started before something else came into my life. and which you'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But it seemed really interesting. It's not like it didn't hold my attention or anything like that. Like, it did seem genuinely interesting, and I do want to finish it, and I will finish it. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. Yeah. But without spoiling anything, both of you, I hear that it's a very emotional game, especially towards the end. Did you guys feel exceptionally emotional as you guys went through the game?
For me, I don't know that it was, it had its moments to be sure, but I don't know that for me at least, that the last part was as gut wrenching as some people might want to view it. Partly I think because I kind of saw it coming.
Likewise.
Yeah. I mean, it was especially the, are we spoiling this at this point, or are we still waiting?
That's up to you guys. If you guys want to spoil it or not, like I said, I have not played it, so. I don't know. I kind of want to keep it spoiler free, but I don't know. Go ahead, spoil it.
Hey guys, we get into really spoilery territory with Edith Fitch. So if you want to skip on ahead, please skip on to the 10 minute and 10 second mark. And you will avoid all that and go straight to our scoring scale. Thank you.
Well, I guess the two biggest twists, and feel free, Cody, since you've played through the whole, or at least watched the whole thing to, you know, add whatever your thoughts are. But the one that she was actually pregnant throughout this whole experience, I was like, that was so obvious to me. I don't know why, but
I saw that coming. Maybe,
yeah, it was like, okay. And I pretty much knew that. It was just a matter of them confirming it. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't a surprise at all, which that was the first twist. And then the second twist is that she's telling this story in actuality. She's telling the last part to her son that she was pregnant with it throughout the game. And she has passed away.
Yeah, so she's telling her final stories while telling about all her family's final stories.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the thing is, given the context of the whole game and basically how it's about the misfortunes of this family and how they all died, like, I can say that I was like, maybe, you know, 10% surprised that she was actually dead. But I mean, given the context with everyone else, it's like, yeah, she's probably gonna die.
Yeah.
So, not tremendously surprising. I guess if you want, for me, just to kind of hit the highlights, you know, the graphics I think were exceptional for, especially for an indie title. I mean, they're on par in my opinion with a AAA game. Like Cody said, they did a really good job of setting the house in a creepy setting that, you know, I think was worthy of the subject matter. And I really appreciated how they did some of the relatives' deaths. I mean, because it is a walking simulator in a lot of ways and just like learning and observing, but it was kind of neat to do a few things. There's one sequence where you're flying a kite, and basically by how you fly the kite, you cause the dialogue to pop up on the screen that tells the story. And I think my personal favorite was towards the end. There's one of the relatives that's working in a fish. I don't know what's the word I want to use. Like a packaging factory for fish. And
The kid.
It was really kind of neat because you basically were like playing two separate games at the same time, which was kind of bizarre. And because you're using one stick to basically. Except without saying too much, I don't want to spoil everything, but basically you're using one stick for one aspect of him, and then there's another like thing that's kind of going on in his mind that you're basically playing that simultaneously. And for those that aren't as coordinated like myself, maybe, it was a little bit challenging in a very unique way to do it, and I think it really helped to, in a very real way, to kind of tell how this particular relative had a lot of... conflict within himself and a lot of struggle with, you know, reality versus, you know, the fantasy and which one he wanted to be a part of. So I think the way they did certain relatives, and I'll even be like Cody talked about the first relative, the little girl. I mean, I thought that was a really neat way to tell the story from the standpoint of being them being like an animal. So bravo on that. I thought that they really, on the vast majority of the relatives, they tried to come at each one, you know, their story and how they told it in a very unique way. So I was pleased with that.
Yeah. I specifically enjoyed the one of the grandparents who was so paranoid he locked himself underground. And his story was told through a like a comic book setting. So each scene was interactive and it moved through like a comic and it was all pixelated, like your old school Batman and stuff like that. And that one was really neat. And it'd be interesting to like make a full game, like a Telltale or story type game in that aspect. Because that was a neat way to tell a story, you know, as a comic book.
Well, those are all like very interesting thoughts, and it makes me want to play it right now and finish it just to see. And actually, the more I think about it, I think I did the first three. It was the fourth one that I stopped on, because the fourth one I stopped on, Cody, was the old man that locked himself up. Because I remember the third one was the girl who was an actor, and she was known for her scream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Barbara. Yeah. That was really cool. But anyway, yeah. So Andrew, since you played it between the two of or the three of us rather, what would you give this on the Real Dudes alcoholic beverage scale?
Oh, geez, it always makes it tough for me. now, do I want to give it like a real score, or do we want to just stick with the Real Dudes score?
Do the Real Dudes score and what it equates to on a real score.
Okay. That's a toughie. I'm not an alcohol person. You know me.
That's right. I remember it whenever you come over, but I always forget it when you're not here.
I think I got one. Okay. I will give it a crisp apple Angry Orchard hard cider.
Okay.
And I would say that I'd put that somewhere at like a 7.5 or an 8.
Okay, that's pretty solid.
I think the biggest way I would have seen to improve it in my mind would just be a little longer, which being is that it's a $20 game and that it's an indie title, and I know there's a lot of things that go into that. It's, you know, understandable, but I guess that means that's a good sign, you know. I want more.
So. If you want it more, that's a good thing.
But other than that, I mean my single biggest thing is just a little bit longer length, but otherwise I really enjoyed it for especially for Walking Simulator, which I know I've talked with you, Carrington, is usually not my cup of tea. I tend to like, you know, like you said, it's kind of more of an experience in my opinion than a video game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even though of course it is a video game, but just not in the same traditional sense. I prefer, you know, be a little more involved and have to do a few more inputs in order to succeed. But no, it was really well done. So pretty good.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. A nice Angry Orchard apple ale. So that, well, see, I'm glad that I know that it didn't sound like none of you guys disliked it, because it's getting a ton of praise across the board, and people are calling, you know, favorite game of the year. Yep. I think it might be up for some game of the year awards towards the end of the year kind of thing. But that's interesting, because I was expecting, I don't know, I guess I was expecting a little bit more as far as what you guys are telling me, because, you know, like I said, a lot of people are giving it all this amazing high praise, but yeah, this is like it was like a bad game or anything.
Yeah, I think the praise, they're overselling it a little bit. What do you think, Cody?
I haven't read anything about the praises or anything, but I wouldn't say it was like best game or anything like that. But well,
the short version is a lot of people have been giving it like 9.5s and 10s.
Okay. Yeah. I don't fully agree with that. I like your measurement, 7.5, 8, something like that. It could be better, but it was a good game for what it was and the length it was and stuff like that.
Fair enough. And, you know, that's it, I guess. Yep. That is what remains of Edith Fitch. With an F. And moving on. All right. We're going next to Absolver, which is a nice little game that at E3 this past year, which was during Devolver Digital's segment. But they published it. They did not make it. So basically Absolver is a, how do I explain this? It's made, okay, the developer was Slow Clap. I if I remember right, this is their first game that they've made. And it is basically a martial arts game where you can, I think it's a fighting game. You basically get these like fighting cards, basically, and those are your move sets. And you basically have, when it comes to the actual fighting, it's basically like a light attack, heavy attack, and then you have a combination of all of those. You can actually do like more moves and stuff. And then on top of that, there are different fighting stances, which have entirely different move sets. And then there's different classes, and each class is different. And it's actually a very deep fighting game for what it is. But I think the nice little twist, per se, is that it is actually an online only game. So you can have, like, you just be walking in the world, and then there's NPCs, and then you have actual player characters that can come. You can either fight the NPCs together, or you can be in a fight between an NPC and a player at the same time, which can be a lot of fun, very challenging. But you can also just walk up to a random person and team up and start going around the world and you know, going through the story and stuff. The story itself isn't too long. It's about, I'd say about 7-ish hours, I think. But to get to the end was insane, because I read somewhere else that the way someone described it was like the Dark Souls of fighting games, because you will die a lot and you will have a hard time getting through it. It's a lot of fun though, but it is a really hard game, because of the fact that, like right out the gate, you're supposed to take on like these four main bosses in order to like move on. And then when you get to like the first one in that set of four, there's like 6 or 7 NPCs on top of, and that's including the boss you have to fight. So it almost does encourage you to find someone or go through the game with a friend, but it's not really that easy when you're the only one on PC that has the game, and when you find another player, they just want to fight you and kill you and take your stuff. So that's Absolver really in a nutshell, unless you guys have questions.
Sounds neat.
It really is. The only downside to it, I guess, is that most of us here have Xboxes, except for you, Ingrid. You've got a PS4. It's only available on PC or PS4. So if you are looking for it on Xbox One or the Nintendo Switch, it is not coming out on either of those systems. The progression system was really good. Like, I was impressed, and I give it high praise, actually. Like, just thinking about it has me pumped. Because, what were you going to say?
No, just curious, since you seem to have the most experience with it, because I watched some gameplay footage and, you know, got acquainted with it and did some reading up on it. But I kind of just, you know, described to you earlier that I wasn't 100% in love with the graphical style, specifically the fact to basically make everybody this nameless, faceless person. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was kind of lazy myself. I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on that.
I didn't really care too much for it, only because when you first start off, there actually really aren't a whole lot of customization options. But the more you progress through the game, you see why, because of you're changing a lot of stuff all the time when it comes to your gear and even your mask. And your mask actually has like different stats and abilities and powers like that. So I didn't really care for it all that much. Once I figured out that a lot of your gear and stuff, it doesn't stay the same, and it doesn't it just changes so much. You don't really get attached to it, and you don't really even think about it. That was just me though, going through it, because since it's like a third person perspective game anyway, you do see your face sometimes, but other times you don't, kind of thing, just depending on what's going on.
Well, just the style in general just seemed kind of drab and kind of, and I'm sure that was probably what they were going for. It had to be. I guess it just wasn't my cup of tea, but maybe that was their thought, is that we're going to somewhat skimp on the eye candy. I mean, even though it's got its, you know, I suppose for some especially it would have its own unique charm, but maybe skimp on that so that they could really focus on the mechanics and, you know, that aspect of it, which seems to really be the meat of the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't concentrate on more of the graphics side of it and more of the networking side of it, because networking in general is a pain to code for. So I wonder if a lot of their resources went to something on the networking side of things.
Gotcha.
Well, that's just from a technical standpoint, especially with them being an indie developer. I wouldn't surprise me if that was the case.
Cool. Cody, any further thoughts?
No, I didn't have time to research this game, so I don't know a whole lot about it. I was not able to play it since I am on Xbox, as previously mentioned. And also my time has been caught up by something else that will be mentioned later.
Yes, indeed. And I will also say, like, I get some of the best fighting I have seen in a game because of how fluid and smooth, like, the fighting moves are and the fighting styles are. You can easily switch between them all, and the animation switches accordingly, which I thought was, like, really nice. I was using certain fighting stances on purpose just because of how the moves look themselves when you're in that fighting stance. Because I was dying so much. I'm like, it doesn't matter what fighting stance I'm in. I'm just going to die anyway. Why might as well look cool doing it?
Fair enough. kind of on that note, you kind of already touched on, but just roughly speaking, and I know it would obviously vary from player to player, but just kind of give some insight maybe. What would you say the learning curve as far as approximate time? Was there an amount of time put in, or was there like a stage that you just kind of got to and then, you know, they kind of, it clicked, or you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so I still feel like I haven't clicked with it, because when you're going through the tutorial level or whatever, I felt like, man, I'm actually good at a fighting game other than Smash Brothers. Like, I thought that in my head going through the tutorial, like, this is going to be so much, you know, not easy, but like, this will be nice to go through and everything. Then you get into the real world and I'm like, yeah, I still suck at fighting games. So I would give it a high learning curve, and I would say at least you'd have to spend at least 3 to 4 hours before you feel like you're at least somewhat comfortable with it. And I'm still not even good at it. But on the Real Dude scale, I will probably give it an IPA. To me, I can drink an IPA, but they are tough to get down. So Absolver, if it's your kind of game, if it's your kind of style, you can definitely go through it and you probably have loads of fun. But I think for most people, they'll have trouble getting through it. It is a high learning curve and it is very difficult. But at the same time, it is a $40 game, also. So that also, I think, will knock it down a few, for what it is, because it's not a very long game either.
Okay.
And I got it for $20 because they were having a pre-order sale, for PC. So I got it for $20 and I felt like it was a $20 game, not a $40 game. So yes, also keep that in mind too.
I don't know that we touched on it because I know we're kind of wrapping it up, but would you say that you would recommend this only to somebody who felt as though they were relatively skilled in, you know, in some other fighting games? Does it really translate, you think? You know, if you're a Street Fighter or a Tekken player or something like that, would this be your kind of game or
not? Oh, yeah, really? For sure. Like, if you're a Street Fighter, Tekken, Soul Calibur, any of those kinds of games, definitely check this out. Like, this is going to be high on your list. But if you've never been really good at those games, or if you don't like them, then I would stay away from Absolver.
Gotcha. Kind of lets you know which group should maybe give it a real close look. Cause I know all of us, I think that high level fighting games, from what I know of any of us, isn't really any of our cup of tea as far as being really skilled at it, even if you might appreciate the skill that is required to excel at it. But
oh yeah, for sure.
You know, kind of letting them know, basically who should actually really give it serious thought, unless you just want to, you know, try your hand at it and maybe, you know, force yourself to get good by playing that.
Yeah, I understood. If you're not good at those games, don't play Absolver, because you're just going to get frustrated with it out the gate. Because like I said, I got through the tutorial level no problem. Uh-huh. And it's not, and the tutorial level was not easy either. Considering like the last couple fights, they're full on fights. They don't hold anything back those last few fights. And that's easy compared to the rest of the game. Wow. So that's just to let you guys know, like, this game is not easy, especially not for by the yourself.
Faint of heart. No, not at all. To give up easy.
And I think Dark Souls has that stigma too, like not a stigma, but the, I guess, stereotype with it, you know, like it's just one of those games that's just really difficult and really hard, and it's not on purpose. That's just how it is.
You've been warned. You heard it here. If you're not good at fighting games, or you don't just have an iron will that you have to beat everything, especially if it has that difficult tag applied to it, then maybe not your thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On one hand, we had one game today that was, you know, just an experience you kind of go through. And then this other game is just like, this is really difficult. So we covered both ends of the scale today.
So it's basically you shall not pass versus come right on in.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. All right. So we are going to take a quick break because we don't have a whole lot of new stuff. So let's going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. Carrington here, co-host of Real Dudes Podcast. I'm here to tell you about our new affiliate, Podbean. That's right, if you're looking to get into a podcast, you can get your first month service for free. You can do so by heading to the website, podbean.com/RDP, or using the promo code RDP, and you can get their first month's premium service for free. They are our personal podcasting host, and we love them. We wouldn't be here talking about it if we didn't love them so much. So head on over to podbean.com/RDP or promo code RDP and get that first month service for free. And as always, have a rad day.
Hey guys, we also wanted to let all of our fans know that we have started a Real Dudes Podcast Discord. Friendly place for fans of the show or just fans of gaming in general can come to talk about the latest news and goings on in the gaming world. If you want to join that, hit us up on Twitter. We can get you an instant invite, and we'd be happy to grow our community there, talk with you guys, and hang out.
We here at Real Dudes want to give a huge shout out to Guitaro Man for letting us use his music on this episode. You can find more of his music on SoundCloud, and be sure to give him a follow on Twitter at IAmGuitaroMan. That is GITARUMAN. Thanks, and let's get back to this episode.
And we are back, and back in action. And we actually attended our first convention right now. That would have been 1 week ago. Probably by the time this episode comes out, it'll be 2 weeks ago. So we attended Power Up RetroCon in Huntington, West Virginia. It was myself and Kyle. So basically, it was a retro gaming convention where you could buy games, talk with people, trade stuff. And there was all kinds of games there. As far as retro games were concerned, you could find anything if you wanted there. They would probably have, someone would have it. There was also a few developers there, which is really cool, developing their own games with retro style games. They had a nice game room set up also, which was a lot of fun, especially since they had VR going. I mean, who doesn't love VR? And it was PC VR, not PS4 VR. I don't mean to knock it, Andrew, but compared to PC, the PS VR is not that good right now.
Oh, I know. PC Master Race. We know.
But Kyle and I were there to, you know, interact with people and get Real Dudes up and going, you know, try and get more people to listen to us and converse with us, which was a lot of fun. We had a raffle going on, and the winners have since been notified. We gave away a copy of Sonic Mania on the Nintendo Switch. We gave away 5 copies of Kid Trip from Four Horses, which we just interviewed the developer. And then we also gave away a $15 gift card to GameStop. You guys have any questions, since you guys unfortunately were not able to make it, about us about PowerUpCon.
What was your favorite moment?
Favorite moment was probably seeing all of the different cosplays that were there, especially the dude in the Master Chief cosplay. It was incredible. And cool. little like side story. So we talked with the guy and his buddy. His buddy pretty much sped ran Mega Man 2, which was insane. Cause we had video games going on up on our booth, and this dude just knew Mega Man 2 like the back of his hand, which was awesome to watch. We were just sitting there talking, you know, doing our thing or whatever. And I had to go out to the car real quick and get something, and they were there and they had parked right next to us. I did not recognize the guy that was in the Master Chief outfit, even though I saw his face cause he lifted up the helmet real quick. It was just a little funny story that, you know, you know, it's just one of those things. You had to be there.
Yep.
That's kind of your, a personal, and then kind of from a, I guess, a professional, standpoint, what mm-hmm. would you say was a highlight?
The highlight was just, having people come up to us and, you know, wanting to know who we were and what we were about, and to see all the different people. Like, there were even, kids there that would talk about the things that they've done, or there was one kid who was trying to get his YouTube channel going, and it was just cool to like just see other people in the same position as us and wanting to just genuinely converse with us, and the fact that they were all genuinely interested. Like, it was just really cool to see. You know, it's just hard doing it like what we do right now, because we don't hear our audience or we don't see our audience at all. So shout out if you do listen to the podcast, we really thank you. And even bigger shout out for coming up to us when we were at PowerUpCon, because it was a huge just, I guess, motivation to keep on doing it.
Unless, you know, you're not alone and there's a lot of people out there just like us, right? I mean, be a way to put it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I said, it was just cool to meet other creators and other people that just, you know, just love the same things we do. And just be able to talk about it, and just, you know, like I said, we able to do it among ourselves, but just to meet random people, and just, it was just a whole different experience.
Cool. I have one more question.
Go ahead.
If I may. Were you able to walk around and see other people, vendors, stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
What was the most expensive, rare thing that you saw someone having in there?
That is a great question, because Kyle and I, we talk about it. We talked about it like after we left that day and the next day, and we even brought it up several times since then between him and myself. There was an NES game, if I remember right. It was a Simpsons NES game. There was a vendor that had it for $800. Yeah, I maybe even shortchanging the price. I wish Kyle was here, because he would probably remember it better than I did. It may have hit the thousands, because he's the one who saw it and he told me about it. But I want to say it was $800 for that game. And that guy that was selling it, he had more than one game in the hundreds that was on the NES.
Wow.
So yeah, that was, yeah, okay. That was impressive.
Nice.
So moving on, Nintendo had a Direct. Well, they had one today, but we're not going to talk about the one today. They had one about a week ago that specifically focused in on indie games. So me personally, the ones that stood out, because I'm not going to go through the entire list because they announced so much. Golf Story, which is coming out, it has a release date of this month, which is a golf RPG. So I love golf. I love RPGs. That's right up my alley. Also, Kentucky Route Zero looked interesting. I actually own it on Steam. I just never played it. But seeing it, I think I'm going to play it on PC and then buy it on the Switch, because it looks incredible. And then Mulaka, which looked really interesting, which is coming out like early 2018. It just looked like you play this Native American, but I didn't really get what it was about, but it did look really interesting. I like what drew me to it was the art style mainly. And then finally, well, not finally, first Morphy's Law, which was a first person shooter. Or was it third person? It's a shooter. It was like a cartoony shooter. And depending on what, limb you shot, that's what part of your limb would grow, and then it would change your abilities. And I thought that was just really interesting because I think shooters, it's time for them to switch things up a bit. And then finally, No More Heroes looks fantastic. Travis Strikes Again. So if you're, yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. If you don't know what No More Heroes is, there's something wrong with you. Although, wait, it was a Wii game, so maybe you haven't heard of it, but whatever, look it up, it's fantastic. Anybody else find anything that popped out to them?
I was really, I'm a big fan of the Shovel Knight game. So, talking about the release of, Shovel Knight King of Cards, that should be sometime in early 2018. I'm definitely, looks like you, play as, King Knight, and it's yes. Going to be, four new worlds and 30 all new courses. So basically they're saying it's going to be bigger and better than ever. So, and also on a side note, as you pointed out to me, Carrington, that this is going to be the last DLC for that game. So that's another reason that it would be special.
Yeah, and Shovel Knight's a great game if you've never played it. So
for sure.
Yeah, I'm just happy that it's lasted this long too. It's had such a long lifespan. Like, not too many indie games have long lifespans, and Shovel Knight is definitely the exception to that rule. Cody, you see anything that popped out to you?
And this is where I get crucified. I am not a Nintendo fan much, so much of these games I don't know of, neither heard of, nor will probably play. Sorry, I just
hate is gonna hate.
Yeah,
that's all right. It's all right, man. We all have our stuff that we just are unpopular with our opinions.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, this is probably gonna take up the bulk of our time for the rest of this episode. So, well, I'm gonna start off with Andrew, your thing, because you're the only one who's played this.
You're making me wait, man.
I know, I'm sorry.
Killing me.
So,
considering it's going to be just a Cody and Carrington fest after this, I suppose I should get my moment in the sun, because I got burned by Destiny 1 and I ain't going back. They done me dirty and I'm too good for that. I deserve to be treated better. But I'm strong and independent.
You ain't nobody's plan B, right? Either you love me or you choose me or you lose me, right?
Pretty much, dude. They done. They had their chance and I'm moving on up.
So,
anyway, no, played the latest Uncharted game, and it's only a $40 game, which I thought was interesting. It's also Uncharted the Lost Legacy, for those who want to be more specific. And this, it's kind of interesting because you no longer play as Nathan Drake. You play as two side characters from the other games. Chloe, who was in Uncharted 2 and 3, and then you also, she may have made a small appearance in 4, I don't believe so. So I'm pretty sure she was just 2 and 3, and then you have Nadine, which was from Uncharted 4. She was actually one of the bad guys, for lack of a better term. You play as Chloe, and you team up with Nadine, and it's a pretty similar experience in a lot of ways, as far as, you know, puzzle solving and some basic third-person shooting, solid mechanics as always from the Uncharted series, you know. So in a lot of ways, I guess more of the same, but definitely had its own unique twist and, kind of changed it up a little bit by having two female lead characters. Had pulled in a few other characters that, tried a little surprises, little pop-ins, I guess, that you would say. One in particular, once again, kind of a bit of both, a familiar in a lot of ways, but also brought something new to the table. So I was really pleased with it. like I said, I think that it was they could have charged $60 for it. I think it would have been a bit overcharged, but I don't think there would have been a ton of pushback. It's a little shorter than the other installments in the series, but not tremendously. So I was kind of proud of them, actually, in an age when it seems like, especially if you get a good franchise, you know, you try to squeeze every last dime out of people who are invested in it. They actually kind of played nice and dropped that price point $20. So I would say if you're a fan of it, a fan of the Uncharted series, then, you know, and you're unsure, it's absolutely, you know, if you're already have gone through them all, it'd be foolish to not pick up this installment and can, you know, keep right on track with everything. And even if you're not a fan, honestly, and haven't played before, it'd still be not a bad place to pick it up, especially at a cheaper price point. Maybe let you, you know, test the waters and see if you want to go back and play the others. Might be a few things that you know, don't make complete sense if you haven't played the previous games, but it's still a pretty decent standalone title. Like I said, just with a few details that might be a little murky if you don't have some background, but really enjoyed it. So yeah, if that's your kind of game or one you've already, you know, like I said, a franchise you've already been into and are unsure, then by all means pick it up.
So quick question, and the timeline, so to speak, as far as, because I know the games themselves are in sequential order, where does this fall into the Uncharted series? Like, does it take place after 4 or during 4 or before, or
It takes place after the events of 4. It continues, like you said, in being sequential and following a, you know, chronological order. Basically, each game that comes out is further along in the time stream.
Okay. So. Yeah, I was just curious because I've dabbled in whether or not to get a PS4, and Uncharted's at the top of that list for sure.
If you got a PS4, yeah, I would say it top at least 3, probably top 2 franchises that I think would, you know, like you said, be must plays if you have one.
Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly believe it. Uncharted is a game I definitely want to play through. That series, that franchise, because everyone loves it. And I don't think I've heard anyone not like it. I've heard people make fun of it, but not in like a, you know, oh, this is a terrible game kind of thing, but just what people do, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, like I said, you know where you can borrow the games, at least.
This is true. This is very true. I'll check them out someday when I'm not busy with, you know, Destiny 2.
Heck yeah. About time. I've been waiting forever for this game.
What's that?
I've been waiting just forever.
Yeah.
You know, just a little game by Bungie that, you know, that they come out. No big deal. I don't know. What do we say about it, Cody?
Game of the year, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll see.
I don't know, but I
threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Oh,
it nice. Definitely, right out the gate, it definitely fixed everything. If you had a problem with Destiny 1, like story or loot or the grind or just any issue you had with Destiny 1,
yep,
they pretty much fixed it in Destiny 2, like hands down.
Yeah.
Like I'm grinding right now. Like I'm grinding right now to be raid ready because the raid released today. But at the same time, like I don't feel like I'm grinding through the game. Like I'm not like going, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely excited to like level up. Do you get that feeling too, Cody?
Oh, for sure. And like with Destiny 1. After a while, like, there was no story. The story did not make any sense. But what kept it going kind of was its PvP aspects and stuff like that. And this one, it still keeps that. It has great player versus player crucible action, but it accentuates it with great, like, a storyline and lore behind everything and quests and side missions and all that stuff, which keeps you playing and learning more and all that stuff, which, and then in the long run, doing all that stuff helps you level up, which is always great because the grind and the raid, and I really want to get in the raid. And
me too. Yeah, me too. Almost there.
Oh, I'm there. I'm just waiting for everyone else to get there. I guess out of everyone of our friend group, I'm the...
You're definitely one of the highest, maybe the highest.
I am, and it's like, yeah, I'm the highest, but then I'm like, dang it, like, I don't have a life. I'm playing this game, like, with my entire time, but I'm not regretting it at all. It's a great game. I'm enjoying it, and even after I finish end of game content and stuff like that, there will always be more to do, more to play, more mm-hmm. gear to get, and expansions to play, all that stuff. So I'll always be ready. I'll always be playing Destiny 2.
And one thing that, like, my biggest gripe in Destiny 1, it was just like, once you hit a certain wall, and it's just like, well, how do I increase my power level? Strikes. And there's no other way. You have to do strikes, and you have to, like, do them repeatedly over and over and over again.
Yep.
With Destiny 2, I haven't hit that wall yet, and I've only played the strike. Well, I've done the strike several times already, and they're fun. Uh-huh. Like, Destiny 1 strikes were long and boring, and I hated them. It's just one of the reasons why I stopped playing it, because I hit 270, I think.
Yeah.
Like 270, 280. And I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I refused to keep leveling up.
Oh, just wait until you hit the wall, because again, it's at 270 to 280. So let's see what happens when you hit that. Are you going
to
quit?
I misspoke. I meant to say 370, okay. 370, 380. I misspoke in Destiny 1.
All right.
This one, I don't see myself quitting as much, because there's so much to do. Like, there's missions even after you're done with the game, which the story is great. And it's not like it's a huge twist or anything to it, because as soon as the game begins, you know how it's going to end. It's just how are you going to get from point A to point B kind of thing. And the journey is glorious.
And how they, like one of my biggest gripes with Destiny 1 was that the characters were just there. There was no build on them. Why are they there? The, like, character of each one of them. This one, it's built upon that. You have your three Vanguard, and then you have your side people on each planet and stuff like that, helping you and giving you quests along the way. And every one of them has a personality that is shown throughout adventures, and their dialogue even changes each time you play a strike, which is neat. So it's not like the same thing over and over again. So,
yeah, and that's one thing I also would like to touch on. That's why I love the strikes even more in Destiny 2, because the dialogue is different whenever you play them, which I think makes it even better. And it's not like it changes a whole lot, but the little bits that do change, it's just like, oh, that's a little different. Mm-hmm. And then it adds more to the lore.
Yeah. Definitely.
And you also made a point I also wanted to agree on, was that the Vanguards, the three big characters in Destiny lore, you have Cade, who's played by the one and only Nathan Fillion, who's fantastic. And I can't think of the other two. Ikora and Zavala. They're not in Destiny 1, the main storyline, hardly at all. Unless you buy the expansions and then play Taken King.
Like, they're in the cutscenes and stuff like that, but they're not built upon.
Yeah, and it sucks to have those. And they're all played by major actors, and they're wasted in Destiny 1.
Yep.
And then in Destiny 2, they're there and with their personalities in full effect. And it was really a shame to see in Destiny 1. Like, it was a shame. Of course, until Taken King, but that's a whole other animal.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. And I was just... And the lore is just so good in Destiny. It is so good.
I think Andrew might have a puke bucket by now.
No, honestly, I mean, I'm just saying, you guys are, it's like, you know, like I said, they were cheating pretty bad on Destiny 1.
Yeah.
They just take your money and run, but it sounds like they're coming crawling back. And now, after listening to you guys wax poetic about it for the last 10 minutes, I'm slightly more interested. I'll be honest. It's like I said, it's basically like, baby, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make it right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so sorry. Please take me back. I'll never do it again. And so I'm that has my attention. I don't know that I still don't know that I'll come back to it, but I have to say, in these few short minutes, you've softened my opinion somewhat.
I'm glad.
You could always take the plunge and join us on PC when that releases.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not a PC gamer. I've come to that realization years ago. I have limited skill on console, and that limited skill drops drastically on PC. So I go from average or maybe a slightly above average on my best day to crap.
Well, you can use a controller on the PC also. It takes both PS4 and Xbox One controllers.
Oh boy, I see you guys. I see you. Mm-hmm. Don't think I don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you hook up any type of controller to a PC?
Yes and no. If it is from the last generation, so Xbox 360, and with some work, PS3, they're pretty much plug and play. Xbox 360 for sure is plug and play. PS3 does take a little bit of work. Now, PS4 and Xbox One, plug them, play. They're good to go. They're that simple.
What about a Wii controller?
Wii controller does work. I've gotten it to work because I'm a PC guy and I like to fiddle with things. So I have gotten from N64 up, I've gotten the Wii controller to work on a PC. But it takes work.
Okay. Does like the motion controls and all that stuff work too? Or is it just like thumbsticks and stuff from there?
For the Wii, motion control works. It's janky, but awesome. It works.
It'd be something worth trying at one point in time. If Destiny 2 ever gets a little bit stale, just play Crucible matches with their Wii controller and the nunchuck and all that.
Oh, yeah. Because I've only tested it on emulators, though, so I don't know about anything else. But I'm sure there's a way to get all that stuff to work, because it's once you get it to work... It does work like a Wii controller. That's how I played through Xenoblade Chronicles 1 and Zelda Skyward Sword was through an emulator. And those are, especially Skyward Sword, it is a motion controlled heavy game. And it worked. It was janky, but it worked. Back to Destiny, though.
No. I think we've talked Destiny.
Yeah,
up.
I just have one more thing to say because the lore in Destiny 1, to get it, you have to unlock it and go online, which I didn't like, but I liked that the lore was cool, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact you have to go through so much work to unlock it and get it, I didn't like. In Destiny 2, it's just all there, and I love it.
Yep.
And I'm finding things that like Cade was a human and had a life before. Like he had a wife and a son. And it was just and you find this stuff out. Whoa, and it's just so cool. It is so cool, man.
Yes, I'm telling you.
And to get that, you gotta do Cade's I think you gotta do his treasure map stuff. Okay. And then you have to read his journals. They're so good. Oh, they're so good. That's just a little teaser of what the things I have learned, Cody.
Alright.
So yeah, we may talk about Destiny 2 more or not. Who knows? Well, we definitely will because the new expansion comes out this winter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right.
So we're gonna wrap things up. So as far as announcements are concerned, Cody, you and me will be at the Cincinnati Comic Con here coming up. Are you ready?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I am as ready as I will be.
Likewise, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'll be there all 3 days, and then Cody, I think you mentioned before you might be there just Saturday and Sunday, correct?
I'm working on my schedule, so we will.
Okay,
I will get back to you on that, and get back to all of you lovely people listening, as well.
Oh yeah! So if you guys are attending, let us know, and we'll meet up and we'll hang out.
And hopefully you're cosplaying as something super cool and we can take pictures and maybe make fun of you, but who knows?
Who knows?
Oh boy.
Andrew, are you cosplaying as anything? Do you cosplay as anything?
What's that now?
Do you cosplay as anything?
No, I've never really cosplayed before. I really enjoy it, and like definitely it's a highlight of any con that you go to, seeing all the cosplays. However, it is actually, I have several cosplays that Brianna and I have talked about wanting to do in one of these times when we get to a con. It's definitely going to happen. I would say, one, we definitely like to do Spock and Uhura because, you
nice,
know.
Nice.
That'd especially be awesome. Since,
considering that
My sister is of a brown skin color.
And I am pasty white and have dark hair.
Exactly.
It would totally work. I'm pretty sure we could nail that.
Exactly.
And no, so that would be one. And then actually, I would like to do an Uncharted cosplay with, once again, trying to go authentic as possible. Go me going as probably as Nathan Drake, or like I said, maybe one of the other side characters. But of course, you know, if you're going as Uncharted cosplay, I gotta go as Nathan Drake.
Of course.
But, and then her as Nadine. Cool. So, which she would be a dead ringer for that. Right. So. No, one of these times.
One of these times.
I've only cosplayed once, and I was Kakashi from Naruto.
Nice.
I think he's like the coolest character. That's just my opinion, though. And I didn't even watch the entire series. Like I said, I think we've talked about it before, Andrew. I've only got like 30 or 40 episodes in.
Yeah, you're not deep enough to really say that definitively. But Kakashi is really cool. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people, that's a common choice. So you're not exactly alone in that.
Okay.
For me, I don't know. I'd have to say, I don't know if you ever got to that far. If you did, you just barely saw him. But Rock Lee.
Rock Lee's cool.
I definitely know of him. But he's,
like I said, there's...
I was going to say, he seemed like a little... I don't know, like a little nerdy kid from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, he's much more than that, though, when you get into him. For me, my favorite Naruto character have to be either Rock Lee or Shikamaru, just because he's so freaking smart. And once again, just I guess I kind of identify with his attitude and demeanor. So, yeah, he's definitely it'd be one of those two for me.
Cody, who's your favorite
Kakashi's
Naruto
a good
character?
Choice.
Sasuke.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I know, but... He's got that cool, dark aspect to him, and I always like those characters and how they develop.
And another thing that I just might soften your look on Destiny also is that, you know, I know you love Uncharted, and Nathan Drake is played by the one and only – oh, gosh, his name just escaped me for some reason. Hold on. Uno momento. Because he's a huge voice actor. The guy
– Tinklage?
No,
the ghost, Tinkleberg.
Yeah, it's not Tom Holland, but
I know this too.
He will play Nathan Drake in the movie, though. Tom Holland,
yeah,
really.
Nolan North,
that's right. Yeah, Nolan North. There we go.
Nolan North plays the ghost in Destiny now, and he is fantastic. Just saying.
Fair enough. No, he's Nolan North is an excellent voice actor for sure. So, no, that's a good point though. But no, I said you've sold Destiny enough. Like, are you guys getting are we getting sponsored or something? Or I mean, what's going on here?
I mean,
so cut me in.
I would
mention it,
no. Bungie. If you're listening, that would be great. We will sell Destiny 2 like no other. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, we'll be at Cincy Comic Con. If you're there, hit us up. We'll be there, and we'd love to hang out with you. So if you want to follow us or go pay attention to what we're doing, you can find us over on YouTube. Just search Real Dudes Podcast. We are getting it up and running more and more. At this moment, the vlog from PowerCon is out. I also released a vlog about the launch of Destiny 2. So that's what's up there on the YouTube. It's still up and running. Are getting to be up and running, so we're working on it. You can hit us up on our website, realdudespodcast.com, where you can find all of our affiliates and all of these episodes, these lovely episodes, and our new merch store is on there too, so check it out. You can find us on Twitter at realdudes_pod, Facebook and Instagram, both at /realdudespodcast. Hit up on our email if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, especially any comments or questions, because we will answer them on the show if you have them. You can email us at realdudespod@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can always support the show at Patreon, patreon.com/realdudespod. Gentlemen, any last comments before we go?
No, I think we're good.
I'm going to go play Destiny 2 some more.
Me too, because I saw Joe just pop on. So,
all right, guys. Bye, guys.
And as always, everyone, have a rad day. We'll see you next time.
See y'all.
Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations. The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.